And good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio. And starting tomorrow night at 7:30 at the East Bank Theater in Bossier City, the River City Repertory Theater presents William Inge's play Bus Stop, starring Jeremiah James. And joining me this morning in our Knoll Foundation studios are Jeremiah James, along with Patrick McWilliams, to talk about this performance. Thanks, guys, for coming back again.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, Patrick, if you could set the scene for listeners who may not have either seen the movie or seen the stage version of this play, tell us what's happening in this Kansas setting.
Well, it's this isolated diner in the middle of nowhere, very isolated. And what has happened is this very rambunctious, is that a good word, Jeremiah?
Yeah, rambunctious is good.
Cowboy who has seen a girl performing in a nightclub, and he's fallen in love with her and forced her onto this bus to take her back to Montana to marry her. These days, in modern times, we would call that kidnapping. But this play is set in 1955. And a big snowstorm is going on, so the bus has to pull over to this diner and spend the night there until the roads get opened. And then it's just all of these eight characters that William Inge has written all intersecting, and they all have their personal storylines, and it's how they affect each other. And each one of them is basically just looking for love. That is the theme of the show.
And so underlying all of this, there's sort of little either, you know, romantic or quasi-romantic, you know, energies going on throughout various characters. But there's a couple who are sort of like the more fatherly figure types that they kind of stay back from it, but observe the whole thing going on. Let's go through the individual characters if we could.
Sure.
First of all, let's talk about the bus stop owner, the owner of the diner. And that's her name is Grace.
She's this woman that owns this diner, and she's very salt of the earth and maternal to everyone there. She knows everyone. They come in and out. It would be like a local George's or something here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she is lonely because she's on her own and frequently entertains the bus drivers and people that come through the diner.
And by entertain, we do mean entertain.
We do
mean entertain.
She has an apartment above the diner and occasionally slips off with some of the people there to, shall we say, eat.
Right.
Yes.
And so in this particular setting, Carl, who is this bus driver, does develop a little bit of a romance at the politest going on with
her. Right. She's had her eye on him for a while, and she tells the other young waitress, now I'm the only one that waits on him.
Okay.
And so she makes it very clear she has her eye set for him.
Yeah. And from there, we have a couple of travelers. Dr. Lyman, who is?
Richard Fulmer is playing the role in our production, and he is a professor who is very anxious to get over the state line. And there are all of the circumstances with him. He's clearly alcoholic. And there are some suggestions that he was under the radar of police for loitering around schoolyards.
Mm-hmm.
So there's sort of a pederast theme line there. Nothing like that takes place in the show, but that's some back character.
There's that tension going on there in his character.
Right.
And so to catalyst this play, Elma is a young, naive teenage girl.
Right. And he sort of sets his eyes for her. But basically what he does for her, because he's very poetic, probably the most poetic character in the show.
Yeah, by far.
And he just sort of opens her heart up a little bit and shows this innocent, naive girl the possibilities of love. And it makes her feel slightly grown up and ready to face the world.
And so now we come to one of the central characters, and that is Beauregard, Bo Decker. And Jeremiah, you're going to be—I love that name, Beauregard.
Beauregard.
That's a very old name, and you're going to be taking on this role. So,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about this brash young cowboy.
Bo Decker. Well, here's the thing about Bo Decker. I mean, when I started approaching the character and really started researching him, you know, for me, he came across very youthful and very naive. He has obviously this ranch. He's very wealthy in the world that he comes from, and he's obviously a phenomenal talent in the steer roping world, you know, in the rodeo world. But he's also extremely naive and ignorant. You know, he's lost his parents at a young age. He's been raised pretty much by cowhands. And, you know, he's very, very pride-filled. You know, from the world that he comes from, he is King Fish. I mean, there is no two ways about it. But he's never really been socialized in the world of love, understanding others outside of his own domain. So he's very naive. But he is unbelievably confident. And his confidence is almost blinds him to the world around him. And the wonderful journey that he goes on is, you know, and I think any guy can relate to it. You know, you always think you're the toughest guy and you're the coolest guy and you're the, you know, what have you, you know, big man on campus until you get your butt whipped a little bit and you realize you get chopped down to size. And that little piece of humble pie is really what makes that change happen for a lot of us as men. You know, right. When you realize that maybe I'm not the toughest and maybe I'm not the most rock star guy in town. And then that little piece of humble pie really opens up the world to you. I would say also, you know, it really opens him up to the world of truly understanding what it is to love this woman that he's kidnapped. Because that is a genuine feeling he has. He does love her. He does believe that he loves her. You know, but through his journey in the play, you know, getting knocked down a few pegs really opens his eyes to what he has done and understanding the world around him a little bit better and becoming a more well-rounded man.
And how does he get served some of that humble pie? Who are the deliverers of that message to him?
Really, it's a couple of people. Really, I would say it's his handler and the guy who's kind of raised him. His name is Verge. Verge is, Patrick really described him perfectly. He's like the Yoda of, you know, cowhands. Mm-hmm. And he's really tried very hard to steal this very bullheaded Bo Decker, you know, into the way of proper living and understanding. And so he's one of the people. But really, the true deliverer is Will, the sheriff in town, because Will takes him to task, you know, and stands up to him. Nobody ever stands up to Bo Decker. And just the fact that this man is standing up to Bo and that Bo can't conquer that mountain and keeps running into that wall is really something that opens his eyes. But then when Will takes him outside and gives him a good thrashing, clearly an older man, you know, and yet he's more powerful because, again, it's one of those situations where Bo just, he's so young, he's so brash, he's so loud, it's that bark worse than your bite, so to speak. Right. You know, people wouldn't even want to tackle this guy just because of how loud and how brash he is. You know, wherein this guy, Will, who's been a police officer for a very long time and has dealt with people like this many times, you know, would just dodge a punch very easily and throw him to the ground. So, you know, it's these two characters really that he gets that thrashing and understanding, and but Will is also still a very good man who comes to him then again and says, you know.
And we have this wonderful actor from Phoenix, Ben Tyler,
yes,
who's playing that. And
fantastic.
This will be his third time back with us. And I always love to say that because actors don't come back and work with you if they don't have a good time.
Right, so
it says something about the company.
Yes, absolutely. Which is true. You know, that is the one thing. You know, you come in. I was just thrilled to be down here yet again. Anytime I told Patrick, after the last time I was here, that I would come back anytime. I just absolutely love it down here. I love working for him.
So I have him on speed dial.
That's right.
Besides all of the romantic things, there's a lot of growing up on the parts of all of these characters.
Yes.
They're all coming to a deeper awareness of themselves.
That's one of the things about the writing. Each character isn't superfluous. Each character has an arc in the show where they grow and discover something.
And give us a little idea of what some of the different characters are coming to be aware of about themselves, if you could.
Well, for instance, Dr. Lyman, the alcoholic we talked about, he discovers and taps into his self-hatred and what's gotten him to that place. Mm-hmm. And he begins to open up and face some of the issues for the first time in his life. Grace is starting to see that not committing to someone specifically is leading to a lonely life. Of course, Bo and Cherie, the two focused leads of the show, they actually come together and discover that there is a mutual attraction and that love is possible for them and go off at the end on their way to Montana. So each one just has a little lesson that they learn along the way.
So her kidnapping sort of turns into a sweeping her away, but it's through through the process of what happens in this book.
Yes, because Absolutely. She sees him change, and then suddenly when she sees the sweeter side of him and the transition he makes, then she opens up her heart to him.
Suddenly gets a glimpse at his real humanity besides all the brash exterior. Right. Sometimes our armor protects us, but sometimes it keeps us from being seen by others.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right. So now this is an award-winning play. Can you tell us about the awards that it's won? I mean, it's been nominated for a number of Tonys over the years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it actually hasn't had too many revivals since its original production in 55, but it was highly touted then and one of Inge's biggest successes, nominated for Best Play, the Tony, and then was turned in, of course, to the Marilyn Monroe movie, which bears little resemblance to the actual play that it was taken from. They took that and Monroeized it. Although she's brilliant in the role, the rest of the trappings get a little, you know, crazy.
But. And that was one of her first roles after she had come out of the actor's studio and really wanted to go away from sort of the blonde bombshell role to a serious actress.
Right.
And part of that, I guess, tension that happened at the end of her life where she wasn't being taken seriously, even though she could actually act.
All you have to do is watch Bus Stop to see that she could, because she gives a great performance.
Marilyn Monroe truly was a very gifted actress. She was very talented, and but was pigeonholed into that world of just she was sexy and beautiful, and that was what she was going to be. And so when she did have those few opportunities to really show her talent, it was all there.
We've had Donna McKechnie here a couple of times, who won the Tony for A Chorus Line, and she was telling me about after having won for Chorus Line, and of course all of her credits prior to that were musicals, she went to an audition for a Broadway show that was a play, and when she walked in, she knew everyone there, the director and what have you, and when she walked in, they all burst out laughing, thinking that she was there as a joke and just teasing them. And she said it was so debilitating to her, and she was like, no, I'm seriously here. So when she came here to do Menagerie, it was really one of the first dramatic roles that she had been allowed to do, and she was brilliant.
I wish I could have seen her.
That's a great play. So, folks, if you get a chance to go out and see Bus Stop, by all means do. How do they get tickets and find out more information?
You can get them at the River City Rep box office. The number is 318-868-5888, or you can get them at busstop.brownpapertickets.com.
I want to thank both of you for joining me this morning. It's been fun.
Thank you so much for having us.
That was Jeremiah James along with Patrick McWilliams joining me in the Knoll Foundation studios here at Red River Radio to talk about River City Repertory Theater's upcoming production of William Inge's play Bus Stop, which opens tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at the East Bank Theater here in Bossier City. And if you'd like more information, again, you can visit the theater website at rivercityrep.org, or you can go to 318-868-5888. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.
You got this idea that a woman is like some animal you're trying to break.
That's right.
But there are some gals who don't like to be pushed and grabbed and lassoed and drugged into buses in the middle of the night.